I can't tell you what it was that made me want to meet him. Why all the other Pharisees were angry and outraged, and I was curious. Maybe it was the way he looked at people, or all the signs I had heard he had done throughout Jerusalem. How does someone turn water into wine? Who was he to kick people out of the holy temple? There was so much talk about him. Everyone seemed to have an opinion on him. Everyone wanted to tell me who he was, what he was about, whose side he was on. But I had this inkling that what they were saying wasn't the full story. I can't tell you why, I can't explain it, but I had to talk to him. The only problem was, I was pretty sure he didn't want to talk to me, which is fair. I'm not always a fan of me and my crew either. We Pharisees can be pretty stuck in our ways sometimes, a little judgy, a little too know-it-all. I also knew that if the disciples saw me with him, they'd get defensive and force me to leave. They definitely didn't like me. So I came up with a plan. To save face and make sure no one thought I was fraternizing with the enemy, I came to him at night, found him praying in a garden, and quietly snuck up behind him. He noticed I was there immediately. It was as if he was waiting for me. I told him what I had heard and seen, that he had to have come from God, or else he wouldn't be able to do what he's been doing. I was hoping for some clarification on who he was and what he was up to. Instead, he told me that I had to be born from above to see something called the kingdom of God. I thought he was talking about being born again, like I had to go back into my mother's womb and be reborn. But he wasn't talking about that. He tried to explain it to me again, this time telling me I had to be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter this so-called kingdom of God. I was so confused. I felt like he wasn't hearing me, like he was talking past me. I had never heard anything like this before. There's nothing in our scriptures that says stuff like this. So helplessly, desperately, I asked him, "How is this possible?" I can't say it felt good for him to point out how much I didn't know when I was supposed to know it all. The conversation didn't really recover after that. He was still talking over my head, but I never left. I stuck with him. There was just something about him. I didn't understand what he was saying, but I wanted to. I was trying to. And God bless him, he never gave up on me. He never banished me, even in my confusion and lostness. At the end of our conversation, he mentioned a son. That God would send a son into the world, and that this son, whoever he was, would be given so that people would have eternal life. I didn't know what that meant either, but I longed for it. I longed to be with my God forever. I didn't see him again until a couple years later on the day he died. Rumors were spreading about what was happening, and I couldn't believe it. He deserved a fair trial. He deserved due process. I told them that months ago. Why on earth was this happening? I threw some myrrh and aloes in my bag just in case and came upon the hill as he was taking his final breath on the cross. Some people were yelling, others were weeping bitterly. The people who he had healed looked so confused, even a little guilty, like they had taken some power from him that he could have used for himself. As for me, I just stood there in shock, unbelieving what my eyes were seeing. He was the one who told me that God would not condemn the world, but save it. But this didn't look anything like a saved world. As time went on, people slowly began to scatter. The disciples, his so-called friends, who followed him around for 3 years, went their separate ways. The rest of my Pharisee brothers left relieved now that they didn't have to deal with him anymore. The only ones left were me and a guy named Joseph. We exchanged glances, recognizing the heartbreak of another. And then we slowly, hesitantly, mournfully walked up to the foot of the cross, every step revealing more detail of his broken and bloodied body. I recall thinking he was taller than I remembered. As we approached the cross, my gaze moved upward. What struck me was not his body hanging there, but what was behind him, the sky, the heavens. Standing and looking up at him was when I realized what he had meant all those years ago. That being born from above doesn't mean being born again, it means dying. It means having something fall away so that something else can come to be. Maybe that's what he was hoping for me. From there, everything happened so quickly. I was in a fog the whole time. Joseph and I took him down from the cross, wrapped him in a cloth, and as gently and tenderly as we could, carried him to an unused tomb. I know it wasn't standard protocol to bury a nobody in a tomb meant for a king, but an innocent man deserved some respect. Once we laid him down, I anointed his body with the myrrh and aloes in my bag. I had anointed many bodies in my life, but none like this one. As I touched his forehead and wiped his arms, it's as if the life that was in him was transferring to me. As if his gruesome and brutal death was my new beginning. I can't explain to you what was happening or even whether I believe it was real, but there was this moment when the curtain between life and death fell away and I saw a glimpse of eternity. It's as if he had always planned on giving that to me. It's strange because I have been faithful to God all my life. I know the Torah. I follow the laws. I've been a lifelong and devout Jew. If I'm honest with you, I still don't fully grasp what he was talking about that night in the garden. And I definitely don't know what happens now that he's dead. But here's what I can tell you. I encountered the man named Jesus twice in my life, early in his ministry and at the end as he took his final breath. Over the years between those encounters, I wrestled. I struggled with what I knew was true and my long-held faith convictions. I replayed our conversation over and over again in my head, hoping for any sense of clarity. I prayed to God to reveal this son to me, because I desperately wanted to know what this kingdom of God was about, what he meant by it, where it was. I spent years searching for this place, aching to have the eyes that would recognize it. But it was only there, at the foot of that wooden cross, where I realized that the kingdom of God was not a place. It wasn't even necessarily an idea. It was a wholly other, upside-down realm where I am given a glimpse into something more, something bigger, something eternal, where a dead man's body gives me life. So though I look around me at a broken and beaten world, a world that kills the innocent and mocks the ones who love so deeply, I know that's not the final story. I know now that he was never trying to convince me of anything or persuade me to join his side. He wasn't trying to make perfect sense or set out the clues for me to find this other kingdom. All he wanted was for me to have life, for the whole world to have life. And I finally have the eyes to see that sometimes life can only come through death. I am Nicodemus, and this is my story. Amen.